go to the Lord in prayer? Father, we again, we just come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we do have 10,000 reasons to worship you, 10,000 reasons to thank you, 10,000 reasons to fall on our knees and give you praise. God, we just thank you even for the slight breeze that you've given us this morning. God, we take your goodness for granted so much. And so, God, we just stop before we go any further, before we get into the sermon, and we just thank you, God. And we just pray that you will open up the eyes of our hearts this morning so we may hear not what I have to say, but what you have to say to each one of us individually. God, your Bible tells us that your word tells us, your truth tells us that you created each person that's here, each person that's listening online. You created us and you knit us together in our mother's womb. God, we're individually made so unique that not one of us has the same fingerprints. Only a designer in heaven, only a great God, a designer, could do such wonderful things as that. And so, God, we know if you can create us and you can do all those, make our bodies so wonderfully complex that your Bible says that you do, we know that you can open up the eyes of our heart and you can speak to us individually this morning. So that's what we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can have your seats. If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and turn back to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. We're going to pick up, obviously, where we left off last week. And again, I want to reiterate this, the fact that we're doing the tubing trip this afternoon. Next week, the youth group, Narrowgate Youth, is going to go tubing. And we get to celebrate the decision that Reagan Wood has made and seal that deal with water baptism. And I just can't wait. I cannot wait. There's nothing that a pastor wants to do more than to baptize new believers. And so that's just awesome. It's going to be a great day. And so I want to encourage you. I know everybody, you always probably hope that I'll shut up around 12 o'clock so y'all can go eat, your stomach's growling and all those things. But I want to encourage you to bring a snack, bring another bottle of water. And let's, as soon as the service is over, let's all join down there and encourage her, witness it, be encouraged by what she's doing and her boldness for Christ. It's going to be a great day. With that being said, if you make a decision today, or you made a decision 3 years ago or whenever, and you were never water baptized and you want to, we'll do it today. And we'll do it next week. You can be joined. We'll add you in there and we'll celebrate and we'll praise God even more. So, Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 13. The title of the sermon this morning is Amaze the Lord Today. If you're a note taker, Amaze the Lord Today. Last week we saw where Jesus was coming down the mountain after preaching the Sermon on the Mount. This crowd, there was this large crowd that was following behind Jesus, amazed at his teaching. And then this nasty, despicable, disease-infected, smelly man with leprosy approaches Jesus. And we saw this, we saw this man, not only did he kneel before Jesus, not only did he approach him, and then we see him worship, and he kneels down before Jesus. He doesn't ask just to be healed. He said, Lord, heal me and cleanse me. This man with leprosy believed that Jesus could heal and cleanse him, so he asked if Jesus was willing. And we talked about it so often in life. We said, God, do you love me enough? Like, is it possible that you would love me? Are you willing to heal and cleanse me? And what did Jesus do? And nobody else in the world would even touch him. He was cast out of the community. Nobody, he couldn't go near anybody. And when he did come near anybody or anybody else, he had to say, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. Yet Jesus reaches out and he touches this contagious, nasty man. And he says this simple statement, I'm willing, be healed. And if you remember, we talked about how too many people think they're too unclean for Jesus. They think, no, there's no way that God could heal me. But Jesus proved to us last week that there's never anyone who is beyond his healing touch. There's never anybody who is beyond his love and his power. But we all have to personally come to that place where we admit that we need that power in our life and that grace and that love in our life. Well, this week we're going to continue, and Jesus is going to continue to show his divine authority this morning. He's going to show that he really is the Messiah. And this is right after he comes off the mountain, right after he just heals this man. But he's also going to show us that he has the power to reject the ones who maybe have religion. Maybe they have religion. They know how to do all the right things and everything, but they don't believe. They don't have a relationship with him. So not only does Jesus have the power to heal and cleanse us and to accept us into the kingdom of God, he also has the power to reject those who do not believe. So it's a powerful, powerful part of Scripture this morning. So let's read Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 13. The faith of a Roman officer. When Jesus returned, I'm sorry, my pages are turning here. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him. Lord, he said, my young servant lies in bed paralyzed and is in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Doesn't that sound familiar from last week? I will come and heal him. What a simple statement he makes. Verse 8 goes on to say this, but the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. And then when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come. And we need to listen to this because most of us here are probably Gentiles. And I will tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. What a promise from God. But many Israelites, those who for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home, because you believed, it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. Let's pray again. Father, we just thank you again for the ability to come and to worship you in freedom. And we thank you for the ability to come and approach you as our Lord and our Savior. God, I just thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you for the scriptures. And Lord, I just pray again that we would listen to your Holy Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you know this morning that you can amaze God? Did you know this morning that each one of you has the ability to amaze the Lord this morning? You probably thought it was just another Sunday. You were come out here and sweat and get dehydrated like the rest of us. But I'm telling you this morning, the scripture tells us today that we can amaze Jesus today. Well, if you don't think it's possible for a mere human to amaze God, then you do not believe what we just read. Look back. Let's read it again. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to just read verses 5 through 9, and we're going to break that apart and go down through it. So this is what he says. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him. Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy enough to have you come into my house. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I'm under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go. Come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. Number one, the first thing that I want us to realize about this guy that we need to point out is it was not socially acceptable for a Gentile to approach a Jew, okay, in this day and time, especially to come ask them for help. And the fact that this Gentile was actually a Roman officer made it actually even worse. It made it more unacceptable. Yet despite this, he acknowledged the fact that he needed Jesus in his life, and he needed Jesus' help, and he confessed it to Jesus. I talk to people all the time that acknowledge the fact that they're sinners. I've got guys that I work with, and they'll kind of make little jabs at me sometimes, and most of the time because, you know, they're maybe cutting up, or everybody's joking around, or somebody tells a dirty joke, or somebody says a cuss word, and they'll say, I forgot, Anthony, you were here. Just because I have the role of a title, all of a sudden they got to apologize to me, you know, and I tell them, I'm like, you don't have to apologize to me. I'm not anybody important. I'm a sinner just like you. A lot of times we acknowledge the fact that we're sinners, but where we fall short is that we don't confess that to the Lord, and we don't confess our need for a Savior to Jesus. This Roman officer knew his need for Jesus, and he confessed it directly to Jesus. It reminds me of like Vacation Bible School, those ABCs of becoming a Christian. Remember, you A, admit that you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins. And C, says this, confess that he is your Lord and Savior. The second thing we need to notice about this officer is this. Remember, we talked about how Jesus a lot of times we want him to be our Savior. Last week we talked about that. We're not willing to let him be the Lord of our life. Notice what this Roman officer says to Jesus. How does he address him? Look back at the Bible. He says what? He says, Lord. He comes right to him. Here's a Roman officer. It's completely unacceptable for him to be even talking to Jesus. And he comes to him and he addresses him, Lord. Just like the leper from the passage last week, he approached the one who he knew could actually cure his problem and help him in his time of need. And just like we saw last week, Jesus responds with a similar statement. He said, last week he said, I'm willing. I'm willing. This week he just says, I will. I'll come heal him. Where is he? Let me know. I'll come with you and I'll go heal him. Jesus didn't say, I'll try to heal him. He didn't say, I'll do my best. He didn't say, you know, that like the, you know, a lot of times we get the report from the doctor's office. Well, there's a, you know, 78% chance that he'll be healed. All right. No, Jesus said, I will. I could come heal him. Jesus was willing, no matter how high the barrier may have seemed, he was willing to help. No matter what division or sin causes between us and God, Jesus is willing. Are y'all listening to me this morning? Are y'all listening to God this morning? Because I'm going to tell you right now, that is powerful. Not because I said it, because it's the truth from God's word. Jesus is willing and has the power to save us all. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white. It doesn't matter whether you're on the left or the right or a saint or a sinner. It doesn't matter. Jesus doesn't have favorites. And he is willing this morning to heal and cleanse you. He is willing and able this morning to heal and cleanse me. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35 says this. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. Me and Budgie were just talking about this yesterday. That I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. Romans chapter 10, verse 12 says this. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. There we go. This is exactly what we're talking about. A Jew and a Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. See, Jesus is willing. We just have to humble ourselves and allow Jesus to be the Lord of our life. So I ask you this morning, is Jesus the Lord of your life? Does he have authority over the decisions you make, over the words you speak, over the people that you hang out with? Is he the Lord of your life this morning? So that was the second thing. The third thing that I want to notice out of four, so we're getting down to it. The third thing I want to notice about this Roman officer is this. He had a love for others. Think about it. He was a loving man. Now, yeah, he had servants. He was a Roman officer. But guess what? He was a humble man. And even though he was an officer, he had servants and he had slaves, he still had love in his heart for other people. He cared for those that were under his command, and he recognized that Jesus was greater than him. He didn't approach Jesus with an entitled attitude. He didn't say, I'm a Roman officer. You're going to come down here and you're going to heal this man for me. That's not what he did. And that's what a lot of the Roman officers would do. No, he said he wasn't even worthy to have Jesus enter into his house. He was a humble man at heart. And this caused Jesus to be amazed. It caused Jesus, the Son of God, to be amazed at this man's faith. Psalm 138, verse 6 says this. Though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. James chapter 4, verse 6 says this, and he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you go down further in chapter 4 and verse 10, this is a very well-known verse that we like to quote a lot of times. It says, humble yourself before the Lord. That's exactly what this Roman officer did. He humbled himself before the Lord. It says, if you humble yourselves before the Lord, he will lift you up in honor. Jesus did exactly what the scriptures, Jesus exactly, in this passage that we just read and that we're talking about, this is exactly what Jesus did, what the scriptures promise us over and over and over, is what Jesus is doing right here. He exalted the humble. Have you humbled yourself before the Lord? Have you ever come to the place where you say, God, I am a sinner. You are great and I am not. I need your help. I've tried everything else. I've tried things that I've tried. I've even gone to this doctor. I've gone here. I've gone there. Maybe I've tried this substance. I've tried this, or I've tried to fill my life with a lot of friends, and I've tried to fill my life with hobbies and accomplishments and all these things. Have you ever humbled yourself and actually said, God, I need you. Jesus, I need you this morning. Have you humbled yourself before the Lord? The fourth thing is this that we need to know about this Roman officer. He had great, great faith. He believed that Jesus not only had the power and authority to heal his servant, but that Jesus could simply speak and it would be done. Now that's faith. That goes against everything that we've ever been taught or everything that we've ever seen with our own eyes or experienced in life. Listen to what he says in verse 9. He says, I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. See, this man got it. He saw Jesus for who he really was. I believe, and I was studying this week, and I didn't read this in any study. This is just what I believe and what I think this is representing. That in this statement, that he was pointing to the relationship between God the Father and Jesus, the Son of God. Even though Jesus is divine, even though Jesus was divine, he was fully God and fully man while he walked here on earth. He understood that Jesus was obedient to his superior officer, the Father in heaven, and that Jesus could use the Father's authority to heal his servant if he was willing. See, just like an officer represents the authority of the government that he serves, I have to wear a patch on my shoulder at work because it represents who I have my authority from. My badge has the seal of the Commonwealth of Virginia because it shows who gave me the authority to do the things that I do. So Jesus represented the Father and his authority in this man's mind, and he knew it. So here's a Roman officer, an officer of a powerful kingdom that ruled over many other people and had a reputation of not being nice to other people. But he still believed that Jesus was Lord over all things. This is why Jesus was amazed. This is why Jesus was amazed by this man's faith. He was amazed because the officer, number one, he stepped across those worldly barriers to approach Jesus. Number two, he called him Lord. Number three, he was humble. He was a humble man that loved other people. And number four, he had great faith. Jesus was amazed by this man. Look at verse 10. Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. Let's go back to that. When Jesus, it says this, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Now, I know we've been focusing on this Roman officer this morning so far, and that's what we've been looking at. But we haven't even started to focus on the fact that Jesus was amazed by his faith. I mean, think about that. Think about Jesus Christ, all right, who has all authority over heaven and earth, being amazed by you, being amazed by me. When I know what thoughts I had this week, I know where I fell short. I know the things I've done in my past. I know the things that I'm probably going to do later today. How in the world could we amaze Jesus Christ? But what is even more amazing is the fact that Jesus was so willing to help this guy. You see, despite the fact that he was a Gentile, Jesus opens up his heart, he opens up his arms to this man. But the fact that this man was an officer in the Roman army makes it even that much more powerful. If you really think about it, if you go back in the Bible, here is an officer for a nation who actually enslaved the Jews. He wasn't just mean to most people. He had actually been, they had been mean and persecuted the Jewish people. And Jesus not only receives him, but he commends him for his faith. Think about the power in that, especially to those who were following Jesus. Remember, he turns to the people that were following and says, look at this. Look at this guy. Look at verse 11 again, and look what Jesus tells the people that were following him. Look what he says. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from the east and from the west, and they'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. I can't imagine hearing Jesus say this about me. Can you imagine what the Roman officer was thinking? He was like, man, I just wanted you to heal my servant. Like, I didn't really expect you to exalt me and put me on this pedestal here. He's sick and I just need your help. Jesus turns to this crowd and says, I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from the east and the west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. You see, this man's faith stirred deep within Jesus' heart. It moved Jesus to stop and share a powerful promise with all those people who were following him. Jesus gives us the promise that many will be like this officer. They will come to Jesus. They will come to God. They will be sitting at that table with Isaac and Jacob and Abraham in heaven if they come through Jesus, if they come to God through Jesus, through the faith they have in Jesus Christ. Remember, we just read it, Romans chapter 10, verse 12. What did it say? It said, Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all those who call on him. But if you look at verse 12, you'll see that Jesus also gives another promise. And this is the one that a lot of times we don't like to think about. Look back at verse 12, Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. He says, but many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So just as Jesus has the power to receive someone into the kingdom, anybody who calls on the name of Jesus Christ, he has the power to receive them. He also has the power to reject those who are unbelievers. And Jesus was giving us this warning here. We talked about that before. He's warning us. The judgment of unbelievers is going to be a terrible thing. It is going to be terrible. If you haven't listened to anything else, listen to this. If you are an unbeliever, the judgment is going to be terrible. Again, Jesus isn't punishing anybody. He's not trying to scare anybody. He's giving us a warning this morning because he does not want that to be our fate. This is where most people get lost. This is where most people, we lose them during the sermon. This is where most people say, well, that's why I don't go to church. Always preaching about we're damned to hell and we're going to hell, we're going to burn and all those things. See, they refuse to accept the fact that despite being a member of a church, despite giving to charity, despite being a law-abiding citizen your whole life, despite labeling yourself as a Christian, despite wearing a cross around our neck or maybe a bracelet that says I'm wholeheartedly committed with a cross on it, without me personally placing my faith in Jesus Christ, making that decision to make him the Lord and Savior of my life, I am choosing eternal separation from my Creator. If you don't personally accept Jesus Christ and invite him to be your Lord and Savior of your life, you are choosing an eternity separated from your Creator. A place where there is utter gloom and darkness. A place where there is no hope. Hope doesn't even exist. A place that is so awful that you'll grind your teeth together 24/7 for all eternity. Jesus says many Israelites will choose this as their fate. But to invite us to sit at his table, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we have the invitation to sit at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Can you just imagine? To sit and eat with the father of faith. To sit and can you imagine coming face to face with the radiance of Jesus? Can you imagine actually, well, you know that song, I Can Only Imagine? What will you know, a lot of times we say, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God why he created ticks. Like, why did you create that? No, you're not. You know what you're going to do when you see Jesus? You're going to fall down on your face because he is so great and so awesome. That's all you can do. You're going to fall down and you're going to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Can you imagine what it'll be like to see all the great men and women that we read about in the Bible that have gone on before us? Can you imagine living in a place where all your tears are wiped away, where there's no pain, there's no sorrow, there's no drama? There's no division. Can you imagine seeing the family members who were believers who went on and before us? Can you imagine the reward that's waiting for us who have just simply called on the name of Jesus? What a promise that Jesus gives us here. Jesus will come. He will come and heal. Jesus does have the authority. He does have the power to change your life. And Jesus does have the power, and He does invite us to the table. We just have to make that simple decision to accept the invitation. How many times do we turn down invitations? And a lot of times, if we really think about it, it's because of pride. Somebody says, well, I want to invite you over. I want to have your family over and bless you. I want to help you in your time of need or whatever. And we say, well, really, we need the help, right? But we say, no, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you, though. And in our mind, we're thinking, well, we don't want to overstep our boundaries. We don't want to cause anybody a hard time. But you know what? Sometimes we just have to accept the invitation. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. It's so simple that it's hard to accept. It's so simple that our brain wants to make it like it has to. We have to come more logic has to come from it. We have to have some kind of science behind it, or it has to make better sense than that. There has to be more to it than that. It's so simple that it's hard for us to accept. All we have to do is truly believe, and it will be done. Look at verse 13, and we'll close. Then Jesus said this to the Roman officer: "Go back home, because you believed, it has happened." And the young servant was healed that same hour. And there it is. There it is, church. Jesus said, because you believe, it has happened. He didn't say, because you have never sinned, it's happened. He didn't say, because you're an officer, it's happened. He didn't say, because you're a church member, it has happened. He didn't say, because you're perfect. He didn't say, because you're a Baptist church member and all these things we get wrapped up in. He said what? Because you believed. Because you believed. It's so simple. It's hard for us to accept. This is what it takes to amaze the Lord. You want to amaze the Lord today? Believe. Believe. That's what it takes to amaze the Lord. You just need to put everything the world has ever taught you about science, everything the world has ever taught you about limitations to the human ability and all those things, and simply believe that Jesus can do what He says He can do. Simply believe that Jesus can do what we read that He just did. You see, this Roman officer amazed the Lord, and he believed that Jesus had the authority and the power to meet his needs. Do you believe this morning? Not do you just believe in Jesus. Not enough to just believe that Jesus existed and that He was a man. It's not enough to just believe in Jesus, but do you really believe that what we just read and what we've talked about over the last 25 or 30 minutes, might have been 40 minutes, but I'm going to go with 25 or 30. Do you really believe that it really happened? Did that really happen, or are we just reading a story in the Bible? Do you believe that Jesus can do what He said He can do? Do you believe that He could do what He did for this Roman officer, that He can do it for that servant, He can do it for you? Do you believe that this morning? That's where it's at. That's where it's at this morning. Do you believe? And today we see, or last week we saw, where nobody could ever be too unclean. Nobody could ever be too nasty for Jesus to save. And Jesus showed us today that nobody can be too far away. There's no distance, there's no barrier, there's nothing too great, there's no wall too high that we can build that Jesus is not able to heal and cleanse us. If you believe today that Jesus loves you and that He wants to forgive you or heal you or cleanse you, whatever your need is today, I would encourage you to come today, to get out of your comfort zone, just like this Roman officer did, just like this that the man with leprosy did. Step out and amaze the Lord by your faith today. Whatever barrier is in your way, whatever distance seems too far, approach Jesus this morning. Approach Jesus this morning, and you will amaze the Lord today. And I want to give you another promise. Guess what He's going to do in return? He's going to amaze you. If nothing else, He's going to amaze you by the peace that comes over you, that peace that Paul wrote about that surpasses all understanding. You want to amaze Jesus today? Simply believe. If you don't remember anything else from the scripture, go back and read Matthew chapter 8, verse 13, and look at what Jesus said. He said, because you believed, it has happened. The last part of that verse, verse 13, it says what? The young servant was healed that very hour. It didn't say after he went home and got himself straight and did this and did that. Right in that moment, in that hour, in this hour that we're here at church, if you simply believe, that's all it takes. It's so simple, it's hard to accept. Do you believe this morning? Come this morning. If God is calling you this morning, I just pray that you will come and amaze the Lord today. Amen? Let's stand and sing. If God is working on you, God is calling you to maybe confess something this morning. Maybe there's a new ministry in your life that you're scared to step into. Maybe there's something in your life, a relationship that you've seen that the barrier is too high, the distance is too far. Maybe you feel like God could never love you and could never heal you. Maybe it's something physical. Maybe it's spiritual. Whatever it is, this morning, if you need prayer, come and I'll be up here as we sing.